approve payroll.
I'll second.
Motion's made second to approve payroll, discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Monthly budget report, Mr. Finley. Good morning.
Good.
I had sent Rick an email regarding especially two funds, one because we told the sheriff we'd be back, but he was wanting to know where we were at. Specifically the sheriff's fund, I know we've spent some monies from contingency that we agreed to on two major purchases. And the assessor's fund. Specifically, some of the time that was based on Tim on a contractual basis, but it's how long those ones had up until last, but
the sheriff's fund in the U.S. said that about the ground, so normal would be 58 or 130%, and the sheriff's at 56%. So that looks good as far as numbers go. And I did run a report to look at, see if there's changes right around where you're going there. It looks like this salary part would be good. The total for his is 55%, so it looks pretty good. Any questions about that?
Yeah, there is questions about it. If it's running at 55% and 58%, we have major purchases that was already approved. How does that?
Those major purchases were taken out of this fund right there.
I don't know major purchases you've gotten, so I can't get it.
Radio, thing out of the radio system.
We took that, I think, out of the inmates.
Okay, so that's what you asked for, general county revenue. Okay, I can understand that, but I just,
I just wanted to see where we were.
Right. And that's fine, being already that we're in approaching 9 months into the budget. We'll have to cover that and see. Why we're at such a low level?
Well, and keep in mind, this is at the beginning of August, and we are several weeks in August.
Yeah. I think it looks good. I mean, it looks good. That's got about it.
You can actually see the totals on the one that I sent you, the department totals on there, and see where they're at. I don't know if there was. Some that are definitely higher than what they're going to be, and probably going to do that. I think you were aware of all of those.
Oh, for example, we know the coroner's going to be able to put the numbers in question compared to what we had estimated that we would have in the department. So, what some of the other
buildings and grounds are going to be overrides? We hired an employee in there that we did budget for the other company. Circuit.
And let it be stated that most of the places that we are going over the budget in, or the office holders are going over the budget in, are places that are out of their control. It is not.
This is place to be on, you really want to watch that and look at that, and I think you want to be sharp, probably our circuit clerk, either the appointed circuit judge, and or wait and see, when is the deadline 15? That's the life of the case.
I thought it was like on that. I thought that I heard that, but I don't know.
Mr. Chapman, I think that one of the things that I talked to the coroner, and we budgeted different. For the coroner, we actually increased the budget from last year. But there's no way, I think he told me that we had 21 months of autopsies and things that where last year he had six. And those kind of things that overrun a budget are uncontrollable things, and so the, so are the other items that we've mentioned.
We've had a few younger deaths. And
some of those are required to have the autopsy.
That's what I mean. So if it's an older, there's no requirement.
The assessor's fund, his salary expenses are $59,000 also. His budget balance of his fund balance right now is $474,000. It was August 1st, $474,000. That should carry through to starts getting the bigger checks in November. You get a pretty good check in September.
You
say
he's at? He has spent 59%?
Right, that's where he should be.
58.3% is what you said on the
right. Chart. Right. Actually, you did 58.3% because it rounds it off.
Okay. So he's right on.
Mm-hmm.
Now I missed it. Where did you say it was at 55?
Sure.
Okay.
For the overall budget, is right, your person is personal to 60%. But you should be 50.
I've looked at those there. I'm having no
idea. It's, you know, it's you guys are part of the department. The sheriff's department would be 50% down. That's a big change.
Does he have any staff that has it replaced in something else?
I really probably do if you're HR person to tell you that, but I give them this report if you go through and you probably figured out a little bit of this, but that's the only report that I have available. I only have three dozen guests on the board that has all a red change or something.
Yeah. Prosecuting attorney of these other because of huge increase.
Yeah, I can tell you the percentage of total funds, but I can't tell you where it's your salary.
Did we budget for that normal fund?
I said, whenever I brought it up, but I'm working with it
actually.
Overall, prosecuting attorney is at 56% is overall budget.
But that has jumped significantly on a monthly basis, right? Effective last month. What are the savings in that increase for the effects?
Yes.
Okay. $460. How much? $460. Can't see any questions for it. On the economic development.
Economic development, next you guys budgeted. It's 127 on that, and you budget 766, so 55,000 has been spent. So let's, if you look at it time wise, it might seem high. Like we all know that we're not big.
They all want to see what our war is. Other questions?
Of the moralization of the audit. So but if you don't need me, though, I'll be glad.
I have that, and we briefly touched on that in our pre-vamp. I'm just getting ready for the meeting, so we'll be looking.
I did have one more question for you, and concerning the parks budget. Is it because it shows such a low percentage, which it should show a low percentage, we have had so many donations of materials and projects that it will run low, but well, by the end of the year, I'm sure Kathy, the Broken Bridge, hadn't turned all of the park stuff in, that, like the labor. Does she turns that into you quarterly sometimes or later?
Yeah, sometimes it's quarterly. And Danny, I don't have that parks. It's not a separate budget by itself. It's incorporated into the 114 of the budget, so I don't have any information on that except, you know, you probably know as much about it as I do. I know that there's, but as far as expenses, we don't. The donations that you get will not go into that.
I know. And the community, as they have in all the years past, and well received as a donation part of it. So we've got one facility that is going to be totally donated, except for the labor of the Broken Bridge.
Right, this says the run date is July 17th. So this would be the expenses through July 17th?
At least that's what I have on you looking at.
I'm looking at the budget form.
The budget form was run July 17th. The expenses that I'm reading off to you will run after August
1st. Okay, what this showed at that time, in July, is there an order of $32
profit?
So that's why you're raising
the question. That's the reason I'm raising the question, is because.
Okay.
These tough times, I think it's hard for people to donate like it was at one time. It was easy to get donations. The economic times have slowed that down, except for people wanting to donate to a worthy cause like the park system situation. So that's something else.
That's a standard agreement that comes up on a daily basis. This one? Yeah, 60 months. Hmm? 60 months.
Elevator maintenance agreement for 5 years.
Did you say it's for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, is this agreement truly for 5 years, or is it renewable on an annual basis?
It is. This is going to be for 5 years.
But at any time we want to cancel, as long as we give 60 days review, that's what I'm reading.
Right,
here.
Yeah.
We can cancel. We've been through this in the past. How many companies do we have that want to deal with this on this issue?
Usually there's Cone and Otis, and Bison Crap usually is one that we usually give it to. The amount of this is $7,278 a year, so it doesn't have to be bid out or anything. This is NJ. PA, a contract, I mean, they're on the NJPA.
so we could obviously move forward to our national purchasing license.
Right.
And the reason you say that it doesn't have to be because we pay it monthly?
We pay it monthly.
No.
I mean, we pay it quarterly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$4,500
is what I was saying. But still, we're going through the National Purchasing Agency, so it's the same thing.
That's what allows us.
We're using their bids.
Right. I'm fine with it. I just.
So it's been reviewed. By our attorney.
Motion for approval.
So the appropriate motion would be to approve the agreement by and between Team County and Bison Crop Elevator Corporation, known as the Elevator Maintenance Agreement.
So moved. That's what you need.
The today's date on. Actually, yes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, young lady. Oda.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
We've been bumped from the new guest series that's on your
I noticed. I was lucky enough to run into somebody in the hallway and told me that.
And all my stuff picked up and sent downstairs.
I believe this happens about once a year, so yeah. I remember him doing it before. I don't think the whole day area up there was quite as bad. We got a lot of stuff on the agenda, so I'll go right ahead. We've got a few construction projects that we wrapped up. Well, actually, just a couple of chip seals that wrapped up in the county here a week or so ago. Along around the Rockaway Beach area, 176, and then Route E, both of those have been chip sealed. They're waiting for stripe. The stripe will be done by our own crews. The chip seal was done by a contractor. So, have you guys gotten any feedback on that? I haven't heard anything.
I haven't.
Okay. I'm assuming that
that's all no good.
That's pretty well the end of the construction season for us down here. We do have a project that obviously affects you guys quite a bit right over the Stone County line right there at the high road 465 and 76. We're doing a safety improvement between the high road and 265, and that's coming along nicely. The contractor is actually getting their fill material for the new roadway alignment from inside the cloverleaf loop there. So you may see some, signs up directing traffic because they're blasting to actually remove rock and they're hauling. And I was told by the inspector today that they're actually going to start manning two crews a day, so they'll have two 10-hour shifts trying to get that rock removed as soon as possible. So get that over with.
That's still at night.
I think they're working day and night, right?
Day and night. So it was
as long as they're not on the roadway.
It was a night project for a while.
And then once they do the tie-in, that'll all be at night. They are scheduled to have that work completed where we will have an asphalt surface, I think, by mid-December. And then they would come back in the following spring for the final lift of asphalt. But the line will be open before Christmas. So then they come back and do the top lift. If things go really well, you know, for people having this dry weather, they might actually get the entire project done this year. So. But we'll definitely have the alignment open before the Christmas season. I think that's it for construction down here. We got a little bit of stuff going on 65 and some bridge work on 65 up around the Ozark area. that might be impacting travelers and people that commute and stuff. And that's going along nicely. No pitfalls there. The bridge that we're working on just north of Ozark is actually going to be a freeland bridge when they get done. It was proposed to just replace the deck, and we were going to divert traffic over to the southbound lane, so we're going to have head-to-head traffic. The contractor actually came back with a value engineering proposal that they said, hey, we can add a third lane to the bridge, keep traffic in the northbound lane while we work on the old deck, and we can do it cheaper than diverting traffic and building a, building a crossover and diverting traffic for that period. So we'll end up with a three-lane bridge when we're done for less money. So future expansion should be set up there.
That doesn't happen very often, does it? No, it doesn't.
That's kind of an example of where we work with the industry. Sometimes they just have a better, when the contractor has a little bit more flexibility, they come up with a better idea and it'll save money. We kind of have to approach things in the standard way because we know we're going to have several contractors bidding on it. Sometimes you just have one that has the ability to do something different. So that's good. On the funding side, obviously the 3/4 cent sales tax didn't pass. We're just letting everybody know that we will continue to maintain and we'll continue to meet our commitments that are in the STIP. So the 2017 schedule for the Bull Shoals Bridge is still on schedule. Haven't heard anything more on that. They're proceeding with plans and everything there. And we'll just keep focusing on our core maintenance activities. Just the overlays and the bridge repairs, and probably not very much system expansion other than commitments we've already made. Because we do have some commitments in the Springfield area with their 3/4 cent sales tax that you're going to see some expansion of the system, but it was commitments that we'd already made. So
the interesting thing for legislature,
we've been hearing a little bit of feedback. We have local representatives that say that they realize that the transportation needs are still very important and that they're going to try to bring something up next session, but we really don't know what direction that'll take right now. We're trying to get that. So, beyond that, we're just we're in maintenance mode. We're out patching roads, doing ditches, and doing the stuff that we normally do.
One thing
that impacts both of a lot of citizens in the county, especially on the eastern side, we have farms and ranches, is the overpass at on the highway at the public.
Where the stockyards are.
I just wondered what date they had set on completion there, because it is a very important.
And I apologize because I know that they took the bridge out about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I was there the next day. That drive all the way in Springfield, turn around, come back.
So that those things are of interest to our citizens, even though it's out of our area. I just kind of was wondering, and you don't have to give it to me right now, but I would like to know.
Well, I know they coordinated that with obviously with the stockyards, and they coordinated with the schools and with the emergency services, because once you cut that off, your next access is clear down at 360 or the James River Freeway. And with that being a directional, it doesn't serve all directions with that interchange, change, so we kind of had to catch people before they get all the way up there.
And we can move on with it, but I would like to know about that. So I could pass it along in a meeting.
I apologize because I don't know the actual opening date, but I do know that we coordinated that with all the parties involved there, because there's the KOA campground, and of course the fireworks people, and there was all different kinds of businesses that, because of the seasonal nature, were going to be affected.
Access to Hall Town was their little stores and things there.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about it really is we've got a lot of interconnectivity along there. So, I mean, if you can't depart there, you just basically go up to the interchange. Now, I say that and it's a few miles up, but we have spots like where we're looking at with Bullshell Bridge that if you took it out, you know, you're looking at a 40-mile loop, so, or whatever. So that's much better.
You can just let me know about that and we'll bring it up in a meeting where we have some media. And talk about it. Like you said, it's quite confusing when you get a trailer.
Well, I don't see a date on this. This is kind of a generic schedule. It just says that it will be done this fall, but I don't know when. You know, if that's October or November, but usually when they say fall, it's somewhere in that range. So I just have to check.
I was hoping it'd go down. Go up as fast as it went down.
If we could do that, we'd have a lot of things that we could just tackle pretty quick.
Yeah.
We could probably even take that bridge out and replace it. Nobody cares. Anything else you guys got for me?
Did you ever look any more into the safety concerns there at the intersection with kids are walking all the time?
There.
Yeah,
I did talk to, because we do have enhancement funds coming up this fall, and I did talk to our planning manager, and he did say that would be a project that could be eligible. The only thing that has changed, we do this every 2 years, we do the grant process and the award process. He said that we require the sponsor of the project, and that doesn't mean that you have to be the person with all the money on the table. It just means you have to fill out the grant application, and you have to be the responsible party for making sure the paperwork gets done. It had to either be a county or a city. It couldn't be the school. So sometimes in the past, we've had schools be the sponsor, and then maybe the city and the county will sign on as supporters. The school will actually have the paperwork. In this case, it either has to be the city or the county. So I have not talked to Rick because I didn't know, if the county would be interested in taking the lead on that, or if the city of Hollister would be interested in taking the lead on that. We're talking about the intersection right there in front of SIVO, where we've got, we know we've got people crossing the roadway, and the intersection right there is unlit. We've got lighting at the ends of the intersection, but or interchange, yes, lighted signal intersection, but we don't have a crosswalk or lighting right there that gets across when you're going down the tunnels.
And now with Papa Murphy's there and Taco Bell, there's going to be kids walking up there probably more than what there is now.
The schedule on that grant program is, I believe, the first week of September we'll put out a notice for applications, and then I think it's towards the end of October we'll close it and start going through. We have a committee that will be formed by people throughout the 21 county area, and they'll review grant applications and decide where to award. The cap 2 years ago, the last time we did this process, was $300,000. I don't know what the cap will be this year. That's something we have to get together and decide. That gives you a little bit of an idea. We used to have different programs. We had like a Safe Routes to School program, and we had just a regular trails program, and they've taken that with the last highway bill and just made it into one program. So it'll be a little bit more mixed bag of applications. But that would be my recommendation, is to try to pursue that first, I guess, is what I'm saying. Right about what you're saying.
All right, and then you guys got a full agenda. Thank you very, very much.
Moving on.
I appreciate you.
Thanks.
I'm trying. Did you speak to the possibility of a batch? Oh, stir. That's not enough. I feel like I'm not with
the
batch for that project.
No, you didn't.
That's something that probably we ought to look at that. Potentially. This is an option.
For lighting, torch from the
money's on the problem that city, school, county, and state are on the
floor. It's the daily focus. You ought to be looking for something.
I just know if you drive through there, you can see the kid, you drive past a mile. There's been somebody walking, and you could because the light's over here and up, and it's not right there where you're driving to. You can't see.
Rockwood Beach funding agreement time extension?
Yes, sir.
Potentially?
Rockwood Beach, they have wrapped up the regional wastewater treatment plant rate analysis, and there's some other items studied within that program. Back several months ago, they've been approved to use the existing funding agreement that they currently had in play to finance the cost to have the rate study done, which wasn't necessary just for them, but it was for the regional treatment plant that affects Marion Woods, Bull Creek Village, and the regional sewer district to some degree. They don't have any flow in there right now, but they're
staying over.
Top? Yes, total. So total. Yeah. And we knew we was coming up close. Their termination date on that agreement was June 1st. We knew we were coming up on that. One of the issues were that in order to have the rate study done the way it should be, there was information that had to come from Marion Woods and Bull Creek, in addition to Rockaway Beach. There were some time issues in getting that information pulled together, but they did get that information finally pulled together, done a good job of it. And then part of their services to be provided in their contract, in Tulsa contract, Rockaway Beach, was to present that information at public meetings with the other entities. And that just took some time getting that coordinated and getting everybody's schedules coordinated. They finally did make that presentation, which led to the reformation of the Sewer Utilities and Cost Committee, which is a committee that oversees the rates and the operation of the regional treatment facility down at Rockaway Beach. The engineer also had to give a presentation to that committee, in which once that was completed, the entities adopted to implement that new rate as recommended, beginning in the first building in September. And again, with all that being said, you know, the original termination date was June 1st. We had all these issues come up along the way. We were going to come back to the commission sooner, but we still had these meetings that were still out there to get coordinated. So we thought we would wait until they got those completed and come back and ask for the time extension. They're asking for 1 month, which would be, well, this would be more than 1 month right now, but September 30th is what they're asking. That will give them time to get these invoices addressed with TOTA and get that completed, and that funding agreement will be fulfilled.
But the request is in front of somebody as two-party. The one party now is transferring remaining funds to another project.
No, they want to extend the date of the funding agreement in order to pay these invoices that FOPA submitted them. Once these are paid, then this funding agreement, there's a couple items down to treatment plan.
So let me ask a question. These are bills, once it's already been done, why would it take them in September?
It's just going through getting the approvals from the cities. I think that they just want to be safe and have some time in order to, you know, go through the processes. You know, the county, once I submit these invoices, you know, the ladies do a great job. It takes like a couple of weeks to get an invoice processed through the county. I think they just want to be safe. If we wanted to do till the 15th, we probably could make it work, but I think that they just look at some extra days there. Just to be on the safe side.
There's a comment on the estimate right here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, it seems to me where you say you'd like to use remaining funds for WWTP.
Well,
that's outside the scope of what they were doing.
Well, the original funding agreement was for improvements to the wastewater treatment plant. So they have the total outstanding invoice from TOTE for the study. Then they had a couple of small items at the treatment plant that they just wanted to button up with the remaining funds, which I don't think we'll use all of the remaining funds. The rest of the funding would just go back into their account that's not utilized. And I, you know, I told them that, you know, we just need to get this done. We just need to
address these issues and get this agreement completed, because it's been around for 2 years now. You know, they've just been going through this process. And, this study's greatly helped them get back on track with the regional treatment plan down there. I mean, it was a bad situation financially. It helped the other communities see that that road was necessary.
Before you jump in, let me ask this first question. What we have in front of us, then, with respect, is a continuation or extension of time to provide services that we've already approved.
Yes.
When you mix engineering funds with other funds for the project, I have a problem with that. And I mentioned that at a school board meeting where they had funds that were left over that they were going to use in another project. And I stopped that. I do not want, anytime there's a funding agreement, unless it specifically states that those funds will be used for project this, I'm not going to approve those funds that are engineer qualified funds for the agreement, and then the extra funds just to be thrown in there for the project or another project. I want those separated for accountability purposes. You've heard me state this before. And so the main deal here is to get this engineering company paid for invoices that are outstanding, right?
Yes.
Okay. So one, the other funds that are left over, I want those in an approval form to make sure that we have documentation of what their uses are. Okay, you understand where I'm coming from? And I don't know, this is something different that I've taken on that has been done in the past that I want straightened out. And we're straightening out on our end to review as a commission on the approval side, but the steering board will also have to straighten those funds out. We're not going to go with the...
Remember the example we had the other day.
The example of $250,000.
Gotcha.
That was moved to another. I'm not going to go along with those. Those will have to be resubmitted.
But that's within the service, right? $10 that we sent through the service?
Yes, but it's the same thing, Ron. It's accountability. That if we send these monies through, we don't know particularly what they're going to be used for in that project. I want those to be designated for use in that project, not to be passed through to be used for something in the project. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, I, being at the meeting there, hearing what they were saying, you know, they had some money left over and they wanted to take those funds and use them on a different issue. They had monies left over out of one of the projects that they had done. And it did sound like it would be better to have a new funding agreement, just so it's addressed and what those funds are going towards rather than just go that other direction.
Right. It's accountability is all it is.
A big difference is we're only seeing this directly. We have John that's watching before us. We approve one of those projects in the sewer district rather than approving X amount of dollars and then using them somewhere else. I agree. Here we'll know. There we won't. So I'm glad that you did speak up to that. And I agree with you 100%.
Creating a new funding agreement is not a huge process.
Right.
For the accountability that it provides.
Right. So. We'll head that direction so that we keep things in order.
With this issue, this all kind of started when Terry Seacrest and the treatment plant operator at that time met with the county commission. Remember that day? They was going through one of these legal paths when he asked, what are your rates now?
Yeah.
And they didn't really have anything, any document
That brings up another question, and I'd just like to keep it straight. When I read that in the paper, it gives the impression that the sewer board was the one that this is a board set up that is a more of a feasibility study board on the amount of percentage of usage, the cost raising of the prices. It sounded like it was the sewer board that was making that adjustment, and when it wasn't the sewer board making that adjustment, it was this board made up of Brad. Brad was the only person that was affiliated with the sewer district that attended that meeting. It was made up of Bull Creek, Marion Woods, and Rockaway, and then there was a five-member board.
Well, there's two members from Rockaway Beach.
Okay.
On that board.
And Brad.
Yeah.
But it sounded like it was a sewer district raising the monies.
Yeah. Whenever everybody joined this regional concept, there was a question, well, how do we know what's happening? How do we know the plant's being run right?
And what's the name of that board?
That's the Sewer Utility and Cost Committee.
So it's a committee, it's not a board.
It's a committee, from what I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it may be a board. I call it the Sewer Utility and Cost Committee. I haven't heard it referred to as a board, but I think that modification
it is in the paper. It said board.
Yeah.
And so I think it reflected on the sewer board. And the sewer board really didn't have anything to do with that adjustment.
Yeah. But it gives the stakeholders in that plan an opportunity to have some say.
Yes,
they're part of the regional concept. That's why it was created for that purpose.
Right. And it was presented to the sewer board, in our meeting. But it wasn't the board.
Yeah.
The sewer board, it was this committee.
Yeah, it was presented to the sewer board in order for Brad to be officially appointed to set on that board. That's basically the extent of the sewer district's involvement.
Yeah, that's right. What are we going to do about this? Because we've got a little off track there. Ron, are we going to approve the entire thing? Or are we going to approve
the agreement
payment?
I'm wrong. To provide final funding for the completion of the wastewater treatment plant improvement project up to $25,000. So if we're doing an extension, the agreement was just to provide funding for the wastewater treatment plant improvement project.
Of $25,000.
Yes, I think John, I think your wording in the letter is throwing more of a confusion. Does that make sense? Wrong to you? If we do a time extension for that agreement, we're still able to do improvements towards white. The agreement was for wastewater treatment plant improvements.
That's what it was for. Terry Seacrest came. There was a need for that rate study. They had no money.
Right.
They had asked if they could use the money that was remaining in that agreement.
To answer your question, I think we're all right by moving forward with this. I believe we're only extending the time.
We're extending the time.
The project that we've already approved.
Okay.
That's. But I wanted to make sure.
Okay.
But Dan, you're bringing a good
point, and this goes with this. We can go ahead and approve this because it's already been approved,
yes, sir.
And we're extending the time. Next time one of these are presented, if there's anything other than the cost of the engineering consultants, then I want that separated out. I don't want it used for different projects inside the treatment facility.
I agree. Or for anything else.
Right.
Diverted to
water or anything else.
But in this specific instance, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Move to approve the funding agreement time extension for Rockwell Beach.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve with a intergovernmental funding agreement between King County, Missouri and the City of Rockwell Beach on the wastewater treatment plant improvement project. That's not going to be that extension time to bring us until September 30, 2014. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Opposed, nays? Motion carries. John, we have you down for an update on the septic tank pump out program.
The first pump out application was approved on June 25th. Currently, we have 350 applications that have been approved. Boremans are working 7 days a week out there using all the trucks within their arsenal. The main drivers are running 10 hours a day, and then when they hit their 10 hours, and they have a B team of drivers that get in and they run until dark, trying to get everybody addressed. Their goal is to pump 90 to 100 tanks per month. And, when they pump the tank out, they're pumping the tank out of contents. The next day, they scrape the walls down. They hose that out. Then they pump that residual out. And then they do a minor inspection of the tank so it's not just throw the hose in, pump it out, and drive down the road. So they're there on each site probably 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the situation, maybe a little longer. So, and I've asked people just to kind of give me some feedback. And everybody that they've done the tank have just been amazed with the job they're doing as far as cleaning the tank out and stuff.
Are they reporting to us if they find a system that's not working?
Yes. What they do is on each location, they fill out a Form B. And that Form B tells us the size of the tank. It tells us what type the tank was. There's some other information, but the main thing is it tells us the situation that they see there on the property. And if there's an issue, they note that. If everything's good, they note that. What I do is I have those. I received those when I received their invoice the other day, and I emailed Scott Scarrett, and Scott, being the septic tank permitting authority, asked him how he wanted me to get them to him, if he wanted me to make him a copy of those or what. So I'm working with Scott on that. But they do document the site that they see there, and if there's any issues with the tank, they make note of that.
The reason I ask this is because if, in fact, the county makes the decision, either now or in the future, although now might be a good time for it, to look at the proposal brought to the county from David Casaletto, which would be to enact some similar ordinance that Stone County would put in place, then the two would go hand in hand as we would identify systems that would work with future sales of that property. Those have to be in working order before you sell this property. But that it might be that we consider tying those together or look at it. Please.
Well,
because certainly retaining all the information that you're going to feed to Scott is going to be very important for the future project.
That information would be retained on file. The copies I make for Scott will go to Scott, and then I've got a file system down there where every application I create a file for that.
Well, I was just going to ask him because he's talking about time schedule. Who schedules the opening of the, which we don't pay for, but who schedules the opening of the septic tank where it can be pumped? Yeah. Some of them do not have any idea where their septic tanks at. Take number A, number one, me. But when I went to dig for mine, I thought it was here, and it was way down there. And so what I was wondering is who does that? They take care of the scheduling for the opening of the septic
tank? Yeah, that's up to the property owner. What I do is when they're approved, then I give them Borman's number. They call Borman directly because Borman knows their schedule. The people know their schedule, their specifics about their property.
Okay.
I have had some folks that, they didn't know the location. They didn't know where the tank was at. Borman's has had some recommendations for those folks. Borman's has a couple of younger guys that do that as I can get to them. And then I've also explained to the people that, any of your septic contractors out there, there's a number of them out there, which gives them an opportunity to call and check prices, and that can provide that service for them. There's been probably out of 350, probably just a handful that have had that concern about being able to.
And that's documented. Is that documented by a woman, or by you, or before you run into that problem?
Not really per se that they can find their tank and can't find it. It's not documented.
Go back, what I'm saying is they're going to be going back in 4 or 5 years. If we had some type of documentation by Borman's or by us of a tank that's out of place,
yeah,
you know, that they wouldn't have to go back and do that. That's left up to the landowner. But we would have, you know, on his part, scheduling would be something that would be...
I bet you Borman's. Borman's just pumped a number of these.
And we got, how many do we have scheduled? You said we've done 350.
I've got 350 out that's been approved so far. Borman's has pumped probably around 160.
And we're going to be 450 or?
We're going as far as we can go with the money.
Okay.
That second sheet of what I gave you, it has everything.
His report says he can do about another 70.
That's what I'm thinking, depending on how the cost comes in. We're seeing very few from Pro Tem, Cedar Creek, and Bradleyville area, which is a high dollar one. Most of our compounds have been in the $140 to $145 range. I keep a running tab on this spreadsheet every time I add somebody to a zip code area, which I've got a cost for that zip code area. It calculates down to how much I've got left. And as of Friday, that's where I was thinking maybe we'd get another 75.
So we're something about Fuller's Quarter?
Yeah. And I'm being conservative. I'm thinking 160. Just
we originally thought 500, but we were thinking total cost of 125 units. So,
yeah.
So that makes sense.
But what I recommend to people if they, you know, find their tank is they might check into putting a riser on their septic tank to go out and try to document where their tank is and stuff. That's going to be kind of tough to do.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, we might already have the technology here to do that. As far as the GIS, the coordinates on it, like they do telephone poles and stuff.
Yeah.
Just go out there.
You have that available too. Yeah.
We've got that. MIT has that technology. There's a lot of GPS.
A location.
A location. At least it get them within 3 feet of it. Or yeah. 3 to 5 feet.
It might be something we might want to provide. Mormons with one of those, and they just do that, and they'll be able to put it right there.
That'd be.
I'm sure.
That's my dug up my old thinking yard.
Yeah.
Trying to find it. It just.
I've shared what I'm doing on my database that I'm maintaining. I'm keeping all the contact information, and you can see a copy of it on Shannon's computer there. But and I'm getting the personal ID number, and I shared that with the IS department and with the sewer district and getting better with Scott to take that personal ID and go back to the property. If somebody wanted to do that, be a part of it, that information is available, who it was, and their property number and stuff like that.
Well, I want to congratulate you on your work that you've got down there on this, and I think it's a great service to the citizens, and I appreciate it.
It's been a good program to be involved with, that's for sure. The response from the public's been overwhelming. The participants, they've been very appreciative toward everything. It really has. It's been a great program to be involved with. So far, I estimate we've pumped about 665,000 gallons of water, wastewater, which they don't go to the field. It goes to Hollister's wastewater plant for proper treatment and disposal. That's 165,000 gallons. That would have been subsurfacely discharged into our environment. And so it's a good thing.
That's a huge thing.
It is. And the people have been so appreciative about this project. It's really overwhelming. There's been some folks that took advantage of it that I don't think would have the finances to, unless this hadn't been available. Not a great number, but some that, some of the stories they shared with you that their tank hadn't operated good for, a year or so, and it makes you wonder what was going on there, but this one kind of helped them have the funding and forms come out and pump it out and stuff. But it is it's still very popular. I'm running probably 4 or 5 approvals a day.
Going to county in the 6th today.
No.
I found that. I don't want to have a problem with the midnight.
I'm also tracking a method of awareness, you know, if we do this again, kind of know better how to target our efforts to get information out to the folks. So far, word of mouth's been the most popular, 159 out of 350 in the newspaper. It's the second most popular, but I think the TV, radio, and the other media outlets have helped get that core word out to the folks to where the word of mouth has taken off. But really, neighbor, you know, you get some key people in a subdivision, they start talking to their neighbors, and that's really been helpful for the folks. Most of the tanks we're seeing, 91% are 500 to 1,000 gallon tanks, which that's what I expected. With, you know, there's been some larger homes built in Canyon County, so we're seeing some 1,200, 1,500 gallon tanks, you know, out there, but it's still, you know, 500 to 1,000.
They can haul 1,500 gallons, right?
They can haul about 2,500. And they're trying to set up the City Creek runs, they try to set up two tanks per run down there. And, you know, right now they're running about 3 to 4 weeks out. Initially, we started out a few, and then that 2 to 3 week range, we went from like 30 to 180. You know, it just like took off, and now it's kind of peaking down a little bit. Just to where they got their five trucks running, I think they will run down over the next week or so, where they'll shorten that time frame. But, Borman's has been a pleasure to work with. I mean, their dedication to this program is just top notch. They're always looking at ways to improve the program and the response times, but they've just really been really, really great to work with. I had overheard them talking to one gentleman. He called to get on the list there in my office, and I could hear the conversation back and forth. Very professional, very good communication with the individual. And so it's a good thing. It's good work with them, good program. The sewer district is trying, one of their projects down the line is to revise their master plan, and that's one of the things that Brad wanted to do, is try to map all the septic tanks in Taney County, which that's a good thing, but that's one reason I'm keeping the database as thorough as I am, so I can share that with them, to where they'll have the names and, more importantly, the partial ID numbers, which they're not going to change even if ownership did, where they can know exactly on those properties that we deal with, but where the septic tanks are located. So. But as of last Friday, I was at $11,850, and just divide that by 160 to be conservative, that's where I come up with 75. So we might get more than that, but you know, it's kind of over the hill yet. I'm thinking that might take us another month or a month and a half, depending on how the popularity with the program, if it maintains.
And this started June 1st?
June 26th, when we issued, or 25th, is when we issued our first approval. And that's how quick it's went. And it's out of paperwork, that's for sure. But I did want to thank the other offices in the courthouse. They've been very helpful in getting participants back to my office. People couldn't find me, you know, stuff. And Nikki and Shannon's been helpful with them. They've got a lot of applications faxed in, and so they've been helping with that part of it. And then Linda, Dixie downstairs, they've been handing out applications if I've been out, you know, on a meeting or something. So everybody's helped out around here too, and the other offices have been good.
Thank you, John.
All
right.
Appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The recommendation for the flood buyout demolition services.
Bobby, Mr. Erickson.
Mr. Ashley.
Mr. Ashley.
Mr.
Ashley.
Thank you, gentlemen. This is in response to bid number 201407-269 for demolition services for the flood buyout. This bid was requested by Planning and Zoning, Mr. Bob Ashley was here. It was released on July the 12th, and we opened it last week. We had received three responses, and I'll, there's a lot of detail that Mr. Ashley has off the top of his head, and I'll let him take it from there. We had a pre-bid meeting. We had six or seven vendors who qualified by participating in a pre-bid meeting on August the 1st, and then this closed last week. A week ago today, and we opened it on the 18th. So I'll let Mr. Ashley take it from there regarding the three responses that we received in this recommendation.
As Mr. Erickson had indicated, we received a total of three responses. Response one was from Beard Excavating for $121,500. Bid two was from Tom Boyce Excavating. It was for a total cost of $197,750. And the third was from TK Global. It was for $163,040. We really tried to do a pretty thorough review of all of these, all three. First off, we got what we feel are some great bids here, and we did review all three. All three did include the necessary bid bonds. At this time, I am going to recommend to the commission that we utilize the low bid here at Excavating. I was really impressed. I did contact all of his references, and really all three of the references had glowing things to say, including the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They really all indicated that they've been very happy with his work, and that would be my recommendation.
Can I have a look at that?
Yes.
When you're talking about the bonding on this, does that cover all asbestos removal and other debris that would be DNR significant?
Okay. Well, what we've done there, and I'm actually glad you brought that up because I had intended to bring that up as well. All nine structures have been inspected for and asbestos inspection has been completed, all nine. One of the nine did contain small amounts of asbestos. And so at this point, we snapped requests for proposal for asbestos removal companies. And
how much are bids?
Here's the three bids. We will have an asbestos removal company that will be removing the asbestos properly in one structure.
From one home out of the nine.
Yes.
And that's the only one that contains asbestos.
Yes.
Okay, what about other debris that DNR might have questions about?
Well, what we were also required to do, to contact the Air Pollution Control Program. It's a division of the DNR. We've actually gone ahead and we've given them the appropriate notices, and they indicated to us that they would send us a release on September 2nd, basically telling us that we can move forward. The main thing that division of the DNR deals with is the asbestos, so air quality and things of that nature. The contractor will be required to obtain, from my understanding, a DNR land disturbance permit. Even though these are nine separate properties, the DNR is indicated to me if our land disturbance goes over an acre in total, that they will require the land disturbance permit. But that's something that can be issued online.
Okay, now that's I want the commission to understand that we've got a asbestos bid coming in for asbestos removal.
Is it a bid or
it's a quote?
It's a quote.
Is that included in this bid?
No,
it's not.
That's what I want you to.
Was it like $600 or something?
It's going to be about $1,400.
Okay.
But that's separate.
That's still be paid by FEMA's team.
Yes,
right. That's going on. Is there something I'm missing there?
No, I just wanted us to be aware of that because you were thinking nine of those buildings if there was just a resonating building. There would be a asbestos removal or, as he said, pollution.
Well, like a well has some capital on the short drive.
Yes.
That's something separate. That's not something that's part of this business.
I'm just trying to sort out the pros and cons of this bid. So they're all bid the same, and that's right. The reason I was wanting to bring those issues up. Now, that's left up to the contractor to provide to the locations that are approved, or how have you got that set up? Is each one of the locations different that was approved, or they can use any of the named locations? Is that in the bid, is what I'm saying, right?
Okay.
Are they required to move whatever it is that's demolished to a particular location?
Yes. Basically, the concrete, brick, rock, and block cannot be taken, from my understanding, of the transfer station. And so these items can either be utilized as fill material on site, or we've also been working with the college NeoSARCs, and the college has agreed to provide a separate location for rock, concrete, brick, block, basically these items that the transfer station cannot take. All of the other items would be accepted by the transfer station, the wood, shingles, siding, anything else that we would have. But we do have a spelled out. It was actually spelled out.
Well, when we had the and that's at the cost. That cost will be absorbed by same money payment for the location of the transportation.
Yes. I've really been told that we can't really waive the transfer station cost on this.
I'm not thinking about that.
Okay. It's all inclusive in this.
I'm trying to cover all bases on this thing because there is quite a difference in the bid.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about 120 to one, almost 200. And then we got one split in the middle. Yeah, I'm just trying to cover all bases so that it's clear. We have a low bidding contractor, I think, present.
But Bob and Ron, from your review of the bids that Brandon's taking a look at, it was all apples to apples.
I'm really close to this.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. And I'm not questioning any of that. I'm just making sure that all bases are covered. We're in an open meeting that's being taped. The process needs to be followed, and that's all I'm making sure of. And there's so many things that are involved in this SEMA and FEMA stuff that if we don't make mention of it and something goes awry, then we're on the blame end. So
one thing I might say, they're also requiring transfer tickets at the transfer for every individual property. So they know exactly.
So they separate.
There were 40 loads from this house that went to the transfer. There was 32 from this house. They can kind of keep track of the tonnage out of it.
And we actually have to, like he said, we actually have to keep an accounting for each individual house. And so we'll have to show that this many tickets
were tied to this specific address even.
What my concern was there was kind of when we did the other projects that included tornadoes and floods and this and that. When we got into the shingles and things like that, it increased our tonnage on our loads back and forth, and it'll make quite a difference.
We also, during the pre-bid meeting, gave an estimated daily amount that we could incur at transfer without drilling the site.
Right.
Great burden on us and our current daily loads that come in there. How much can they bring daily without overrunning us?
Donna asks they know what questions sometimes that because of past history. I want the contractor to understand that we have a tonnage amount that can be delivered at the transfer station. It can't be all brought out there during a certain period of time because it messes up the whole schedule for all.
That was all brought up for the pre-bid meeting.
Right.
That was all brought up for the pre-bid meeting.
Right. But I want to make that clear that we don't run into that. I mean, I wanted to get it done. They've got a day of October the 31st. We have this done, so there has to be some management. Randy's addressing that right now. So, to repeat something is never bad.
Were you thinking of paying to this question?
Did I give a bad look or something?
Any other questions? Bob, any other comments?
I guess the only other comment I could have is as part of this process, we sent a direct bid solicitation out to a total of 37 contractors, and it was required to go out to minority and women-owned firms. And so, like I said, we sent it out to a total of 37 contractors. It was advertised in the Branson Tri Lakes News on three different occasions, and in the Tanya County Times on two occasions. Really tried to make every attempt to get this out. It's been many good contractors this week. We really, I think, tried to go above and beyond what the minimum requirements were for notification.
That's a question about bidding equipment required. Can you talk about that for a second?
Well, during the pre-bid meeting, Mr. Davis did bring up that he wanted them to enumerate what equipment they was going to be utilized on this particular job. It wasn't actually spelled out in the bid specifications being open with yet. We have basically we ended up in the one bid that was enumerated. And the other two was not, and so we just contacted the other two and basically just enumerated what equipment should be utilized verbally via phone.
Thank you.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
The reason I ask some of these questions is because it's indicated to me that Branson, after they went through their entire process of going out to rebid, because some of these very same things that I asked that were not understood by the contracting people. That's the reason I was so trying to individually.
Are you insinuating we should have loaned our team?
maybe so. But I did know that they, after all this time, and they have a deadline, I understand, from their, from the low bidder that was accepted, that they're going to go ahead and have a rebid. And we don't anticipate anything like that, so.
Mm-hmm.
We have a recommendation from Mr. Ashley for Beard Excavating, which was a little better, an amount of $121,500. The other two bidders went as high as $197,750. So, do you gentlemen have a motion? Excuse me. Or do we have further questions before we? And once we make a motion and a second, we'll still be open for discussion.
Move to approve bid number 201407-269 to Beard Excavation, excavating, amount of $121,500 based on a recommendation by purchasing and planning and zoning.
I'll second the motion.
Use the word award. Award. The motion is made and second to award bid number 201407-269. Flood buyout, demolition services to Beard Excavating, as recommended by the planning and zoning administrator. Were you involved in recognition or just?
Well, still is already part of my.
What's the motion?
Discussion.
He's lumped in there.
I got you.
I didn't hear.
Unwalk me.
Unwalk me. I'm going to amend my motion.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Mr. Ashley, Mr. Erickson, thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, well done.
Can I ask a really brief, very brief question?
Nope.
I received a draft contract from Mr. Cotty late on Friday. Would there be a possibility of placing that on the commission agenda for Thursday?
It's all right with me if it's all right with you, gentlemen.
Did I actually sign it?
Yes.
They got to get started right away.
Is it all right, gentlemen?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Here we are on this afternoon.
We've awarded the bid.
We're good, right, but we have to have an agreement, a contract signed, and the agreement has to be approved by council. And what Bob is suggesting is we set that final approval of that agreement up for Thursday.
That's fine with me. I don't understand why we have to do that. Once we award the bid, I don't understand why we have to approve the agreement. That's all right. I won't be here Thursday, so that's okay. I have a birthday interference.
I believe that could be an administrative function, but that's just been something that's
really what I think. It's also
carried over.
Yeah.
Schedule for Thursday.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joe.
We'll make sure that we have it.
Yes, and I can email the draft copy to toll free.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Let's get in recess for a couple minutes.
What about water or anything?
I think I'm
interrupting. Yeah, okay. All right.